Dr. Allison Bremner here, back with Cultivating Success. I have someone today on the podcast who's not a chiropractor, but is someone that is a great referral source. And honestly, you guys, you need to be able to talk to other professionals. So we have Angie Nowak here, and she is VP of Brain Code, and they do awesome work with people and helping them get back on track. Thank you, Angie, for being on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, tell us a little bit about Brain Code first.
Yeah. So we are a brain mapping and neurofeedback company. So we start with a quantitative electroencephalogram map. The actual treatment that we do is neurofeedback treatment. And essentially what we're doing is rewiring the brain and teaching the brain to self-regulate through operant conditioning, reward-based training.
Awesome. And so how that we met, well, we met like 10 seconds ago, but how we were introduced is, you know, as you guys know, Dr. Nora is my girlfriend and does upper cervical chiropractic, and she is out there all the time meeting other professionals. So let's talk about that. We'll do the good first. Tell us about that interaction and how you guys started working together.
Absolutely. Gosh. And I, you know, over the years, I've worked with many different chiropractors. I've met some really amazing chiropractors. I've, you know, met some chiropractors that maybe, you know, I haven't had as positive of an experience with. I wouldn't say, you know, that they're just not as amazing as the experience, but Dr. Noy had a really fantastic experience. I went into her office, and I am a little bit familiar with like Atlas chiropractic work, only because I knew another chiropractor who did that specifically. And I definitely am used to kind of the like crack and bump, you know, chiropractic work. And I love that she did x-rays. One, she was extremely kind, thorough, very like well-spoken. And we, you know, just connected on that. She also was just a very enjoyable person. But I liked the x-rays that she did. I thought it was really, it helped me very visually understand what was happening. So she kind of broke it down for me and then explained exactly why, you know, kind of, you know, cracking and moving things around just wasn't what she does. So even though obviously I know that she's a chiropractor, it was just a very different experience than many chiropractors that I've seen. And obviously she's such a niche chiropractor, but it was a fantastic experience. And she did, you know, adjust my neck with the, and I absolutely don't even know the machine that was used, but with the machine that she uses. So yeah, no, it was a really positive experience. She's fantastic.
Yeah, guys. So, you know, it's so interesting. There are multiple ways to build your practice and get clients. And one of the really great ways is by meeting other professionals that you, A, just connect with personally, right? So that's really important. We'll talk about a little bit about how being normal is a good thing. And also, it's a lot easier to have, you know, let's say 20 different professionals that you can refer back and forth to and not have to go to these like spinal screenings and like try to chase down people to come in your office. Obviously, if another professional is referring them into your office, they're much more likely to follow through in your recommendations and trust you. That trust is built with that other professional. So, you know, have you worked with other professionals, or how have you liked that so far?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So honestly, Brain Code, you know, we built Brain Code from the ground up, right? That we are the largest neurofeedback practice in Colorado, one of the largest in the country. And that was built on just networking, right? And meeting other professionals, you know, going to networking meetings, that if, you know, we get a referral in from a doctor or a counselor or something like that, we're calling them and saying, hey, thank you so much for the referral. Can we grab coffee? Can we network a little bit? It just puts you on people's minds. And especially that, you know, if someone were to tell me, oh, I'm an Atlas chiropractor, that means absolutely nothing, right? I don't know anything about that. But, you know, going into Noor's office and having her show me and me asking questions, who's a good person to refer to you, that then when I am seeing people, when my clinicians are seeing people and they are, you know, complaining about XYZ that I don't do anything with, I'm like, oh, let me actually have you go see this person that I know, right? And so we've 100% built our practice on that. And when you, you know, maybe if you meet two people, that's not generating a ton. After you've done that for a few years and you have, you know, 200 people randomly referring to you, that's a pretty significant, you know, population. So I've had really positive results with that. And sometimes, you know, when you're networking, it feels a little bit mundane because it's not necessarily an instant gratification. Every single time you network with somebody, you have no idea what it will turn into. I have people who I networked with 2 years ago who randomly send me people. So it is always worth it.
Yeah. And it takes time. I think that as chiropractors or other business people, a lot of times they're like not patient. And they're like going to a networking thing, being like, I need a patient tonight. And the reality is it could take a year, 2 years to ever get that first referral from somebody. But sometimes you get that first referral, that patient goes back and says, I had amazing experience. Then they start to flood in. You also have to think about, you might meet one person, like let's say you met a chiropractor, they're wackadoodle. It's not that you then stop meeting chiropractors. You're like, that person is wackadoodle, right? So you have to understand that sometimes your personalities don't match. And that's why you have to constantly find the right people. And if you're consistent with it, like you're saying, then you're going to be able to build over time. You know, so what have you found are challenging things when networking or meeting the right people? What would you say is the hardest thing?
Honestly, it probably is time. And I am a highly social person. I enjoy networking. I can literally shoot the breeze with anybody. I do think that that is also a learned behavior, right? That if that's not super comfortable for you, putting yourself out there, because one, not everybody can afford or has like a salesperson, right? Somebody to then go do networking for them. You probably have to start off doing it yourself. So it is just kind of, you know, about putting yourself out there, contacting people, and that's hard, right? Kind of where do you start? But that's also when you start getting a few referrals, always ask people. That's the first thing to do. If you get any patient ever, ask them how they found you and truly track that. And a lot of people actually don't track that. So then they're, you know, trying to network cold. That's just going to be a lot harder stepping stone. So always track where your referrals come from. And that's a really great place, you know, kind of to begin. But also, you know, if you're a chiropractor, we're all kind of in this like natural medicine sphere, if you will. So that's a really great place to start, is just people in your backyard, other, you know, natural doctors, right? You know, holistic medicine, things like that. That's a really fantastic place to start. And people like meeting people, right? People refer to us cold turkey. They just go read our reviews on Google, which we have great reviews, and they just send people to us. It's going to be a whole different situation when they meet me and hopefully like me and then go, oh, BrainCode has great reviews. And also Angie's awesome. I'm going to send them to, you know, that person 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. You know, and a couple of things you touched on. One, you say thank you to when someone sends a referral. It's crazy how these little tiny things are sort of missed, but like, man, if I send someone a lot of people and they don't thank me, they're done. I won't send them anymore. Even if I really like them, because I'm like, you're not appreciating the referrals I sent you. Like, how dare you? Like, that's crazy.
Because referrals, you know, actually I called Rachel, my business partner, after I saw Noor, because you know what I got from in my office? A handwritten thank you. And I love that, because we're old school like that. I literally have my clinicians, like our clinicians write cards, Christmas cards and stuff to patients. Just, hey, you know, thinking about you, things like that. I loved that she did that. That is rare. It's absolutely amazing. Those little things that are lost, people appreciate so deeply.
And now, because it's all digital, right? So now like that, like a gift in the mail, a handwritten thank you note. And when I have my new associates, I talk to them about this, because what they have is time. What they don't have is money. But I'm like, hey, here's a stack of thank you cards. Here's some stamps. Send the freaking thank you cards. Or it can be a just thinking of you card. It doesn't necessarily have to be a thank you card, but those little things, they stick out in people's minds. Because like, I've had people reach out to me as like, hey, I'm this thing, refer to me. And I'm like, I don't know, what? Why would I do that? Like, I don't know you. Like, it's so just awkward. Crazy. Yeah.
It's do
crazy.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the thank you, I think, is a big thing. And just like I tell students a lot of times, because they're so concerned about being the best adjuster. And you should definitely be the best clinicians possible. But the reality is, your personality and the experience they're having with you, that is what they remember. You can be a garbage adjuster and an amazing person. Hopefully your adjustment gets better, but like that translates into people liking you. That is the most important thing. And students, like they hate to hear it, but that communication and that personal touch, that's what builds your practice.
And that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, IQ versus EQ, like great that you're so smart. Great that you think you're the best adjuster. Great that you think you're the greatest clinician. If you need to work on some soft skills, one, again, practice. That just as you practiced adjusting people to make sure that you didn't, I don't know, hurt them, make sure that you are practicing also going out and networking. And so maybe it is awkward at the beginning, but like you said, what do you have a lot of? You have a lot of time, and coffee costs like $5. So take somebody to coffee, chat with them, learn. If social skills do not come as easily to you, learn them, work on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can learn it. I think that people think, oh, I'm either this or, oh, I can't. I'm an introvert. I can't do that. It's ridiculous. I See, for me, like Nora is similar to you. She goes out and networks all day. It energizes her. Me, it exhausts me, but they don't know that's happening because I'm out there talking and like interested. And then I go home and take a nap because,
but yeah, it, even if it sucks the life out of you a little bit, you know what won't suck the life out of you? Getting business.
Yeah. Making money and being able to like, you know, put food on your table.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it, right? Then, and especially if that's, you know, not your strong point, maybe, you know, you don't do it every day. Maybe it's, hey, I block off Fridays, I go do it. Maybe I don't look forward to Fridays, but it's not every day, right? Yeah. I know, okay, Fridays are my day. I'm just back to back doing it. That's okay. It's okay to block time like that.
Couple more questions. I did want to talk about, because before we got on the call, I wanted you to tell me this story. Tell me the craziest chiropractic interaction that you've had. I want, and like, don't hold back because I need the students to hear the crazy stuff that chiropractors do and what on being the person on the other end, being like, whoa.
So I truly mean this. And I have met some incredible, incredible chiropractors. And I have some of the most, and I work with neurologists, I work with neurosurgeons. The most narcissistic doctors I've ever met have been chiropractors. I'll stake my life on it. It's wild. Very like, I can cure cancer with chiropractic work. Like, wait, what? So I, you know, and I wish I could give you like a specific example. I could probably give you like 50 little examples, but just very, very arrogant, very God complex-y. I might use that word. And very off-putting is probably the best way that I can put it, that I believe in having confidence. I believe in that, like, I want that in a doctor, that I hope you're confident if you're about to like snap my neck around. Hyper arrogance is very off-putting, and talking down to someone is very off-putting.
I think that what chiropractors love to do a lot of times is make people feel stupid for their choices, because chiropractors love to, and it, I do think that chiropractors have a very special skill set of seeing health differently. Mm-hmm. Health comes from inside out. And because they think that they're super special and they're the only ones that think that way, that then they are now in charge of going out there and like making sure everyone's educated about chiropractic. And I talk about this a lot because there's a difference between empowering someone on their health and educating them on their health. And people don't like to be educated and talked down to and made to feel stupid. Like, no. I don't. So how is that helping? It's just bizarre, but I appreciate you saying that because they hear me say that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But from another practitioner, like, that's the thing, is this could have been this amazing relationship with this other chiropractor. And you were just like, dude, I can't even have a conversation with you. This is crazy. So absolutely. You don't, you guys don't have to act like you're the smartest in the room. Just be someone that wants to help people.
That's not relatable, right? Like, perfection is not relatable. Hyper arrogance is not relatable. That does not endear people to you. Like, maybe it intimidates them into just doing what you say. It does not endear them to you, and it does not build a relationship built on trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for that. Well, speaking of like developing skills, soft skills, do you have any book recommendations for that you read and you're like, oh, this is great, about like just understanding how to relate to people or like making it easier?
Yeah. So I am actually a big proponent of the Enneagram. I don't love Myers-Briggs. I don't think that's super relatable. I'm a huge proponent of the Enneagram. And so there's a bunch of books on the Enneagram, The Road Back to You, you know, all these different books. But I would say that if you're somebody who's maybe not super self-aware, and if you think that you are, that's still something that you can work on. I love, every time that I go back and read, I'm a 3 Enneagram, I'm an achiever. Every time I go back and read my chapter on being an achiever, it literally points out something different because of whatever phase of life I'm in. It is something I give it to every single employee that I have, so that I know how to give them feedback. I know how they are going to receive affirmation. I know kind of how many marbles I need in the jar to give them bad feedback, to kind of, you know, still have that, still not be in a deficit. And that's something that I've worked on that skill for, you know, 15 years. And so when I meet clients or people, I can usually within about a 5-minute conversation tell probably what their Enneagram is. So that also helps me understand motivations that they have and, you know, what is going to drive them and things like that. So if that's something, you know, I just like temperament tests. I like personality tests. So that kind of, that works for me. I like business books, Good to Great. That's such a fantastic book. If you're more in like a leadership position, maybe in your office or something, there's a book called Necessary Endings that I just read. That's absolutely fantastic, about essentially ending relationships. And whether that is personal, professional, it's so fantastic of kind of knowing when to do that and how to do that and all these different things. So that's probably more than what you asked for. I'm a reader, but great books for, just like you said, learning and understanding more of those soft skills about yourself so that you can relate better to others.
Yeah. Knowing yourself, I would have guessed you're a three in this conversation. Yeah. I think that, like, if you don't know truly yourself, because one thing that happens on chiropractic is that the kids, they latch on to chiropractic. That becomes our identity. You know, I'm a chiropractor. I do this. And you ask them, what do you want? Well, I want to see X, Y amount of patients. And I'm like, then, like, what do you want? Like, who are you about? And if you don't know that, what's going to happen is, yes, you may build a successful business, but maybe it's something you didn't even want to begin with because you latched on to someone else's goals and dreams because you didn't know, you know, what you are. So I do love that testing. I'm an eight myself.
I like that. Do you, what is Noor?
She's a one.
That actually doesn't, is she a one with a two or a one with a nine?
Her wing, I'm not 100% sure, but it is interesting. The thing I also love about the Enneagram is what happens when you're at your worst. So it will show, sure. it'll show you self-destructive behavior. Like mm-hmm. if you start, so like for me, being an eight, self-destructive behavior for me is becoming narcissistic, becoming dictatorship, becoming all or nothing my way. And when I actually go towards a two, which my associate now is a two, which kind of drives me bananas, but it's actually good that she's a two because moving that direction for me is positive. Thinking about other people, helping, being empathetic, that's when I thrive. And so I think it's that actually recently I kind of like the destructive behavior part of it. I mean, like, oh, okay, maybe I'm going in the wrong direction here. And that's why I do those types of things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love that. And I do also love books too, because it's not someone else's it's like you're reading it. And a lot of times the books can have similar stuff into it, but sometimes every time you read it or you look into it, you can see it from a different kind of a viewpoint. So let's talk about first of all, how long have you been in business with any business, this business and other businesses?
Yeah. Gosh, you know, when I graduated from college, I took a job the day I graduated from college to, I wanted to work for a university because I didn't want to pay for my master's. So I went and worked for a university full time so that they would pay for my master's, got my master's. So I worked in higher education for a while. Then I was recruited to a neuro company when I graduated, and then, you know, what came on with Rachel and with Brain Code a few years after that. So actually I graduated college, you know, at 22 and I'm 34. So been in business for a minute. I've kind of always done, you know, a little bit of sales, a little bit of business development. I was a clinician for many years and then kind of transitioned into the role that I do now. And I love all of it. I love seeing clients myself, but I would say that business development is like a passion project of mine.
Yeah. And I like the business side of it as well. I mean, I enjoy seeing patients, but I don't know. I always have guests on here. You got to be a little kind of nutso though to love the business part, because it's so up and down. It's very unpredictable. And just when you think you've got it under control, kind of smacks you in the face.
Always. And you know that we track years and we track months and we're like, oh, November is going to be the best. And then November's absolutely atrocious. And you're like, what happened? It's very, you have to like a little bit, you have to like a little bit of pain if you are going to do business development, because it's never going to do right by you consistently.
Yeah. Well, you said you're an ultra runner. So tell me a little bit about that, because I do equate hardcore sports to business, because if you know how to endure pain, you can endure in business.
It's not even a question. Absolutely. So I played soccer in college and then I actually got hurt, had kind of a weird injury. So I didn't run for a long time, but I was always kind of a gym person. I like working out and whatnot. But then a few years ago, both my sisters, I have two sisters, were on this ultra marathon relay team. And 6 weeks before, somebody dropped off. And unfortunately, I have very strong boundaries with everything minus my sisters. So they asked me to join and I was like, okay. And so I literally made myself a runner in 6 weeks and went out and smashed. It's called Hood to Coast, where you run from the top of Mount Hood to the Oregon coast in this relay. It's 200 miles. And that was a few years ago, and I haven't stopped. I run probably about 25 miles a week. Consistently, I do races. I absolutely love it. Runner's high is real. It's not real like it's actually that enjoyable. It does feel kind of good. So you just keep doing it for some reason.
Yeah. And I think that like something that you're going to have to get good at if you're in business is enduring pain and actually seeking out being uncomfortable. I was telling you, I was reading, well, I don't read, I listen because I, that's just how I get information better. But yeah, I'm reading David Goggins' Never Finish, I think is the second book. And it's funny because like I definitely can be into like softer stuff. Like I like Abraham Hicks and like Law of Attraction, but like right now I just kind of need to like get your shit together book. And it's a wonderful book for that. But one thing that I'm like listening to it about, and I'm like, I want to do more painful workouts. You know, I've done fighting, jiu-jitsu, boxing, contact sports. So I like sprint torture more rather than long distance torture. But, I think that it does help in business if you are able to go into a pain cave, regardless of what it is for you.
I honestly couldn't agree more, as well as in general, it just teaches you discipline. And that if I have a superpower, it is discipline. It's not something cool. It's discipline, that I am a highly disciplined person. And that is business, right? That if you expect to wake up hyper motivated every day, you are setting yourself up for failure, because motivation will come in and out. Motivation will fade. If you are disciplined, if you make those calls no matter what, if you just set yourself up, hey, I do this amount of networking every week. It's not an option. If I feel it or don't feel it, I still do it. That is ultimately how you will be successful. If you are just resting on motivation, that's not reality. If you're resting on discipline, you're going to get there.
Well, it's like putting your pants on, right? So it was like, I have to go networking today. And I don't feel like that. Well, you wouldn't go to work and you wouldn't put your pants on. Like you have to put your pants on and go to work. So you have to do this networking thing.
It's Atomic Habits. Like that is also a book that I just reread, which was fantastic. What is step one? But there's about 5,000 steps that happen between here and there. Put your running shoes on, right? That's step one. Put your pants on. That's step one for networking. That's all. Put your freaking pants on.
Yeah. And some days it's going to be good. And some days it's going to kind of kick you in the teeth. But the days that it kicks you in the teeth and you do it, then it just becomes easier.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about my favorite question, which is your best and worst business decision that you feel like you've made over these past years.
Best business decision is the easiest one. I am a contractor, so I work for myself, but there came a time where I had to make a decision between working for two companies. I'd been contracting with kind of both, and they decided to get divorced, if you will. And so when you're the kid that mom and dad both want you to come live with them, you need to decide what you're doing. And I chose BrainCode. I chose Rachel, and that hands down was the, and I felt it. I knew it. I thought about it. I did. It wasn't an automatic decision. Rachel's my best friend. That would have been an easy automatic decision because she is. But I very much made it a business decision, and that's what it came down to. And I've never ever thought twice about it. It was the best decision I ever made. I put my money in that situation, ultimately in her and BrainCode. And that was before COVID. So then COVID hit, and it wasn't even a question. That was the best decision.
Awesome.
Worst decision?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
You know, honestly, I would probably just say, and I don't even have just one. Some days I'm like, I'm so good at hiring. I'm the best hiring person. And then I'll hire somebody that I'm like, I should never be allowed to hire people ever. I'm the actual worst. So that is one of those that I'm not an insecure person. Hiring people, I don't know what it is, that people can just be kind of anything in an interview.
Yes.
And I believe that I'm fairly discerning, and then they are out of their mind and don't show up and literally don't actually have any interest in working. So some days I'm awesome and some days I'm the worst.
Well, I will say hiring is very challenging, because to your point, in an interview, even in the month that you may have like had conversation with them, you don't know how it's like going to war, going to battle. Like, does this person we're in the foxhole, are they going to fight for me or are they just going to run? And I think that like, that's very challenging to know until they're actually in the foxhole. So you hire this person and then they're in business and they're just like, bah, no, I don't want to do that, because they'll just give up and you're like, whoa, what the hell? So you are not alone. Hiring is just, it's hard. It's you can test so them,
hard.
But I don't know.
You're right that you don't know until you're actually in the situation, and there's no way to simulate that before. So you just kind of, you know, you put it out there and you hope for the best. But when you get burned, and unfortunately, what we do neurofeedback, nobody knows how to do neurofeedback. So our training process is so intense. And so we literally train people and put so much time and money and all this, and then they are not great. And that's so frustrating.
Yeah, that's hard. That is hard. Well, we're coming to the end of the podcast. Anything else that you think would help young new grads just not fall on their face?
You know, I think my master's is clinical mental health. So technically, you know, I'm a counselor. I don't see a lot of counseling clients, but I have. And one thing that, you know, I just saw with people graduating was I honestly believed that they would think I'm just going to hang a shingle on my door and like people will come. That's just how this will happen. And it's not. So when I hear people say, well, I'm just not really business minded, flip that verbiage. Everybody has to be business minded. If you're a practitioner, you have to be business minded. So if you're walking around thinking that, well, that's just not my skill set, make it your skill set. Figure it out. And now if it's really not, and you need to hire somebody, that will be worth every penny to hire somebody to do your business development. But probably at first you need to do it, so you understand what it takes and what your business needs, so that even then when you hire somebody, you know what you're hiring for.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Yeah. I think that people think that you're either born or not. And yes, there are some people that are just like anything. There's some people that are more quote unquote talented than other people at that. But like at the end of the day, it's a skill. And it's also just your responsibility. Like, sorry.
There's no way around it. It just is what it is. If you think you don't have to do it, then I guess you don't want business, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Well, Angie, thanks so much for being on tonight. I really enjoyed this interview, and I think it's going to just help from another perspective, because a lot of times it's me talking or another chiropractor, but really business is business. And if you are a service-based provider and you need people to come in and give you money, you give them service, we're all in the same realm. And so the business skills are, you know, they're interchangeable.
Business is business is business. You're totally right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you so much, Angie.